You're listening to a podcast from Grace Church in Salado, Texas. For more information and resources just like this, visit us online at gracesalado.com.
Today's reading is from Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 and 11 through 24. Paul, an apostle, not from men or by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard about my former way of life. In Judaism, I intensely persecuted God's church, and I tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people, because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, and I stayed with him 15 days. But I didn't see any of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. I declare in the sight of God, I'm not lying in what I write to you. Afterward, I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ. They simply kept hearing, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith that he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it be refreshing to be able to trust those who tell us the news? Wouldn't it be refreshing to trust the news tellers, the news publishers, when they talk about important news, wouldn't it be great to be able to get information from them, to sit down, relax, and to hear news that's helpful, that's good, that's accurate, without having to speculate, what are their hidden agendas? What's their motives here when they're telling us this information? And today, the reality is we live in a culture where the words fake news has become words that we use to discredit or devalue statements that come from people who are maybe our political adversaries. And everyone does it. I mean, from the far right conservatives to the far left liberals, it seems that hardly anyone trusts news that come from information from those who might vote differently than us. In fact, it's so prevalent now that fact-checking is now a thing, and it's always kind of been a thing, but now we got fact-checkers who check the fact-checkers, and it goes on and on and on, where there's this constant devaluing and discrediting of those who share the news. How have we gotten to this place in our culture? I think this is one reason why Paul's letter to the Galatians is going to be helpful for us as a church today. With the world we live in today being so distrusting of information, of news, I want to propose to you that we remember who we are, and we remember what we are supposed to be. We, at Grace Salado, Grace Church, Grace Baptist, whatever you want to call us, we are a news organization. Have you ever thought about the church this way? It's time that we consider again our role as news publishers. News that is true, news that is reliable, important, useful. Mark Devers, a pastor that we prayed for here at Capitol Hill Baptist Church, and he wrote this regarding the church, quote, "We have a reliable source. We have the means of distribution. We have an audience. And most of all, we have some tremendous news," end quote. And we should be about getting this news out and getting it out efficiently, getting it out correctly, and getting it out helpfully to others. We're in the business of publishing what we could call glad tidings. You sing about it, Christmas, right? Glad tidings. We are in the business of publishing what we should call the good news. And by good news, we mean the gospel. The word gospel literally means the good news. That's what it means when we say gospel. I'll actually say that we're not only in the business of publishing the good news, we are responsible for publishing the only real good news of the gospel. If we, the church, fail here, if we fail to publish, if we fail to communicate this good news, the people will suffer. They will miss out on the most significant facts about eternity. They will miss out on the greatest opportunities available to them. They will miss out on the most important story of all time. If we fail to get this news right, if we fail to do it and produce it and publish it in a way that we're supposed to, that's accurate and that's true, we will be just like the political news today. We will be guilty of leading people away from real truth, real hope, real love, real joy. We will be guilty of leading people not only away from that stuff, but toward everlasting bitterness. The gospel is good news. Paul writes to them this letter. And he's writing to them because so many were distorting the good news. They were adding their twist to it, their rules, their history, their baggage, their different backgrounds. In a way, they were taking the news and they were spinning it. And because of this, it has become a watered-down news. It had become a overbearing news. It had become, just to use it again, fake news. It wasn't the true gospel, the only gospel. So Paul writes this letter to remind them of the only gospel because it is God's gospel. So we're going to dive in to this letter by looking at how Paul addresses them, what he does at the very beginning of this letter to approach this reality. And we're going to look at it today and look at implications for us as we lead up to a time of Holy Communion, where we take the bread and we take the juice as reminders of what Christ has done for us. Let's pray and then get on into this. Lord, help us, as we prayed earlier, help us to grab hold of the truth and help, I pray, God, that the truth would grab hold of us. I pray that we would trust the authority of this news. We would trust where it comes from and what it says. Give us faith, Lord, I pray, and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul does several things as he aims to address the Galatians with the only gospel. He explains the good news of the gospel, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get to what the gospel does for us. We're going to get to what the gospel means. We're going to get to how the gospel is to be applied in our lives, how it affects our lives. But first, he spends a lot of time authenticating the message and the messenger. Paul, in a sense, begins his letter of the gospel by raising up God's role in the message. I think this is the way we should start it, as Paul did. He does this in several ways. First, he emphasizes that his call and his authority are from God. Look with me in verse 1. He starts right off, Paul, an apostle. In fact, I want to encourage you to turn to Galatians. Some of these scriptures will be coming up on the screen, but not all of them. I want you to get used to looking at it, reading it. One of my prayers throughout this study, as we walk through Galatians together, that you will see that it's not hard to grab hold of the gospel. It's not a complex gospel. It's actually something good for us. It's easy, and that works better when you read it with us. And so Galatians 1, we see in verse 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle. And before he gets to the, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, he says, not from men or by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. We see again in verse 15, Paul says, but when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace. Paul emphasizes, he's raising up God in this message by emphasizing that his call and the authority that he has as an apostle is from God, not from man. Paul raises God's role in this by emphasizing that not only is his calling from God, but the message itself is from God. Look with me in verse 11. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. Verse 12, for I did not receive it from a human source. I was not taught it, but it came by a revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is giving the credit and the authority to the one that these people by now have heard rose from the dead. Now that's power. He's giving credit to the Father who spoke and rose Jesus from the dead. Now that's authority. He's saying, that's the one who called me. He's the one with the message. This message is from God and this message is about God. Paul begins by clarifying the validity of the news source. And he spends a lot of words to do that. This is good news because it's God's news. You ever notice what Paul's trying to emphasize here, what we forget in 2018, is that the higher the office, the more important the words. And God is saying there is no higher office that this message came from. We have messed that up in our day. That even within my own house, from my own kids who don't even understand all the ways politics works and what is going well and what's not going well, when they hear an athlete call the president a bum, there's this thought that says, wait, that probably shouldn't happen, right? And then when the president responds back through tweets calling that athlete something, there's this response like, wait, those are words that probably shouldn't be wasted. When the president speaks, should he be doing that? So we get caught up in the way words now from the highest place don't mean what we think they should mean. We've watered it down because we also distrust where the words come from. I wish it wasn't so. So Paul wants to make clear from the very beginning, these words come from the highest office. This is news from the top. And Paul does this by emphasizing God and God's news. He does this at the expense of man's supremacy. This is so important. Think about it this way. Most of the reason we distrust our news publications is because we see behind the publication some sort of personal ambition, motive, selfishness. Like, give me the spotlight. I'm going to run into the spotlight because I got news for you and I'm going to put my spin on. We distrust it because we don't believe that the person is really there to talk about the news. The person's there to promote themselves, to rally a fan base around their story, aren't they? If you doubt this, I want to encourage you during basketball season, if you have any kind of television or cable programming or we have DirecTV, and you can watch during basketball season when the Rockets and the Spurs play each other. Any Rockets fans out here? Wow. Okay. Spurs, man. Anyway. So do an experiment with me. So you can go and Fox Sports News will play the Spurs broadcast, and then the Root Sports Program will play the Rockets broadcast. You listen to the Spurs, those color commentators are going to present the game to rally Spurs fans around the way they see the game. You flip over to the Root sports program where the Rockets are doing it, it's the same thing. In fact, as a Spurs fan, I listen to the Rockets, I'm like, oh, it makes me mad to listen to them talk about the game the way that they see the game. Why? Because their job is to rally the Rockets fan around a cause, support the Rockets. We distrust our news stations because we think they're cause-driven by their own agenda, their own spotlight. Just watch election night. I remember watching Fox News when Obama defeated Romney, and instead of just hearing the straight scoop in the news, it was like this morose sadness. We saw the same thing last year when Trump defeated Hillary from other news stations. It was like, just give us the news. Why you got to be all like grabbing hold of my heart and trying to steer it this way or this way? Paul is saying, he is promoting, this message is from God. There's no agenda here except that it's God's message. It's God's agenda. I'm not putting myself in the spotlight. In fact, he goes on this little rant here to devalue his own role in it. I love it. This is so important. At his own expense, he says things like this in verse 1. Paul, an apostle. And then right away, I'm not an apostle from man. Like, I didn't win a contest. It wasn't a vote. I don't even know those 11 apostles. I don't even know they are. I've never spoken with them. In fact, I was out to kill them. So I'm Paul, an apostle, not for man. There's no spotlight here. I wasn't promoted into this role. Not for mere man. This message is too good. It's too precious. It's too loaded with impact for this message to be created by man. In verse 11, we see it again. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. I didn't receive this from some human source. Dear churches in Galatia, he's saying there was no secret gathering. There was no whispering. There was no agenda group getting together. No creative linguist. Nobody getting together saying, okay, here's how you work the message. No, this is not from man. Paul takes it even further by sharing his own history and how his own history doesn't even matter except to just communicate to the Galatians. I was the last person in the world that wants to get famous by this message. Look with me in verse 13. It says, for you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church. I tried to distort. I used to be called Saul. My agenda when I woke up in the day was to destroy the very message that I'm now promoting to you. Verse 14, I advanced in Judaism beyond my contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. Translation to that is simple. If I wanted to be famous, I would be doing what I was doing, not what I'm doing now. He goes on further. Look what he says at the end of verse 16. He says, I did not immediately consult with anyone. I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who had become apostles before me. Instead, I went to Arabia and then came back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to get to know Cephas, who we know as Peter. And I stayed with him for 15 days. A few things here. Paul says, I went to get to know Cephas. The actual Greek word there is historio. Historio, it's the word history. I went to get the history of Peter, of Cephas. What that literally means, the word history, is to inquire about, to get acquainted with the facts. I want to gain knowledge. So in your history class, you're saying, I'm going to go get acquainted with the 1940s. I'm going to go get acquainted with the revolution or the industry age. I'm going to get acquainted with this. And that's what Paul's saying here. I went to get acquainted with Peter. Now check this. He's not going to get acquainted with Peter to sync up his message. Like, okay, Peter, here's how I'm hearing it. Are you here? Okay, let's make sure we get on the same page here. No, what you'll see throughout the book of Galatians, he's going to check on the history of Peter as a news publication. Peter, how are you broadcasting this news? And what we learn is Peter wasn't doing it really well. Paul was not going to seek up the message. In this context, we see that Paul is almost devaluing the role of mankind in the message. He did not go and run and huddle up with other people. He went away. Now, this is important for us. Why is Paul going to all the trouble as a news broadcaster to talk about what he did to get away from people? Well, it's important, first of all, because he wants the Galatians to understand that he was not brainwashed by the other apostles. He didn't even know them, like I said earlier. He didn't run to seek their approval. He didn't wait for them to kind of glad hand him and say, oh, yeah, now we got a convert. Paul did not visit special sites to get the goosebumps with the image. Notice he says, I did not go up to Jerusalem, and he went the other way. He went to Arabia. What he's communicating here is this message is so much from God. It's from God. It's about God that I didn't even go to Jerusalem and make sure my emotions get caught up with what he's speaking to me. I just went to be with God. He's communicating here that there's no conspiracy. There's no scheming. There's no collection of word seekers. There's no spinning going on here. I'm not trying to come from a conference and just give you the overflow and the talking points of what a denomination came up with. This is God's word. No think tank. No strategic planning. No wordsmithing here. And the other thing, reason why I think Paul's doing this is it gives the Galatians a peek into Paul's humility. Notice that Paul left and spent 3 years dealing with this special revelation and this news and this calling. He is not trying to promote himself. He wants them to trust his words because when he got the word, he almost went and made sure that his life is right with God. A few years ago, you might remember the breaking news that primetime newscaster Brian Williams was suspended by NBC when it came to the surface that what he had been telling a lot of the viewers, people were watching him, that a lot of his story was not accurate. He was lying. In fact, he made up a story. Why did he do that? As somebody who's trying to build up numbers and people to watch him so they can hear his news, he was trying to hook them in with a story that was completely false so that they would listen to him, so that they would trust him. He was like, listen to me. I am the person that you can trust. And Paul is doing the opposite. Here's what we know that Brian Williams did, that he did that in NBC. He lied about his story. NBC fired him. We think at that time, Brian Williams was like, okay, you need to get away from it. Get away from the spotlight. Kind of go back and learn what it means to be a true journalist. Like, why'd you get started in this? Maybe you can get back into the thing. And then what happened? 2.5 months later, he took another job at another place, MSNBC, and began to be the anchor there. Not much time for reflection. Which means those who already distrusted Brian Williams was going to have a hard time trusting him continually. Paul doesn't do that here. He goes away for 3 years. And he makes sure the Galatians know that this was a time of wrestling. This was a time of allowing the message of the grace of God to wash over him, to cleanse him, to break him down. Remember, he was already in the spotlight. He was a leader. He was zealous. And Paul's saying, I had to get away and let this message clean me up. He was being purified. He was being humbled as a news publisher. And then we see, if you could turn with me to verse 10, we see this sort of approach here. Am I now trying to persuade people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I'd be doing what I was doing. I'd only be pleasing myself. Paul wants them to know that this good news, this gospel, is not some conference, referendum, or credo written by people. It's not from a denominational vote. It's not clever wording from some church planter. Verse 20, he says, I declare in the sight of God, I am not lying in what I write to you. He is saying, all that he is saying as he starts this letter, this is the straight scoop. This is the only gospel. This is the true gospel. What you're going to hear in this letter, what you're going to read from me, is so important. And it's not from me. It's not from Cephas. It's not from the gathering in Jerusalem. This is straight from the Lord. So, Paul begins this letter to the Galatians declaring the authority of his calling and the authority of the message. And he does it not promoting himself, but promoting God. So, what are the implications for the Galatians? What are the implications for us as we move and consider our time of communion, as we get into this letter? What is it we're supposed to be hanging on to with this introduction? First of all, I want to encourage you that if God can use Paul, he can use you. Part of Paul's message early on in this letter is that his calling is from God, not from apostles. And his calling is by the grace of God. God changed this man. God transformed him from being an enemy of the gospel message to being a proponent of the gospel message. Look with me. Verse 21, he says, after this, I did go to the regions of Syria and Cilicia. I remained personally unknown to the Judean churches that are in Christ. Verse 23. So he's mixing in now. He's starting to come in. He says, they simply kept hearing, he who formerly persecuted us, Saul, is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. The man once named Saul was broken down by the message of the gospel, lifted up by the grace of the gospel, and used to be a messenger of the gospel. If he did it with Paul, he can do it with you. I'm reminded when I think of the story of this guy named Doug. Doug became a friend of mine, but in middle school, when I was in 7th and 8th grade, us nice little churchy Christian boys, okay, we avoided Doug. We didn't avoid a lot of people, but Doug was already kind of big. He was mature. He was strong. He was developed. But it wasn't his physical presence that was intimidating. It was his mental presence. Back then, 1600 was the top score you could get on the SAT. Doug, as an 8th grader, scored 1520 SAT. I was around 200. I don't know what it was. But anyway, this was Doug. So Doug was an atheist, like proud, bold, and he would look. I remember being dropped off or coming out of football, and he would just like look, okay, that's Jason. He's a leader in the youth group. I'm going after him. Not to beat me up physically, but to beat me up mentally. And he would try to engage every Christian he could. He called girls to cry because they believed and went to church. It's not that he was mean, he just wanted to disprove it. And then his process was mean. Well, we all avoided Doug. We were intimidated by Doug. We were scared of Doug. All we knew to do was pray. Now, part of me was praying. I'll be honest. I just prayed I don't face Doug anymore. Can Doug transfer, God? Can Doug move out of the way? Can something happen to Doug? Eventually, we just, I don't know why, but I invited Doug to a youth event we had called Disciple Now, and Doug will tell you unapologetically he accepted the invitation for two reasons. One, he heard at the Disciple Now that we slept under the same roof with girls. Sweet. I'll do that. The second reason, he wanted to challenge the leaders and he wanted to publicly embarrass everybody. The event started on Thursday. On Sunday, Doug stood up among 200 students. This brilliant, aggressive atheist stood up with tears weeping, babbling like a two-year-old. And he just says, I never knew God could love me this much. He said, I heard that people were praying for me to come to this. I thought I was scaring all of you, which he was. Doug became a dear brother and friend of mine, became a doctor, lives up in Pennsylvania now. I even messaged him this week when I was looking at this letter. I was reminded of him, and I just said, Doug, I don't praise you. I praise the God who even saved Doug. This is what Paul is communicating to the Galatians, that God can use even Paul, even Doug, even you, no matter where you've been. If you get a hold of the gospel, if it gets a hold of you, that even you can be used by God. This is important that we understand this news is God's news. The second implication here is that this news is too important for us to mess up. We've got to get this right. That's why we're going to spend time looking at this letter. It's too important to allow people to be confused by it. It's too important. It's too good of a news that we allow people to go, I don't really understand the gospel. No, we want to make sure we get the gospel because it's God's news. It's good news. And we must make sure we get it right. Third implication is that this news is so grand, so big, so deep that only God gets the glory for this. Back in verse 23, it says they simply kept hearing that he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith he once tried to destroy. Verse 24, I love that this is the only response they could get. And they glorified God because of me. What if we got a handle of this good news in such a way that when we distributed to people, they after God got through to them, that they weren't like saying, boy, that pastor there at Grace, boy, he's amazing. That small group leader, man, he's amazing. She's amazing. No, instead they were like, God even used that guy. Praise God. Glory to God. This message is bigger than Jason. This message is bigger than Grace Slater. This message is bigger than my little small group. This message is his message. He even uses somebody like Jason. It's so grand, so big, that only he gets the glory. This is his news. We are his broadcasters of the news, so we exalt God. Not Peter, not Paul, not Mary, not denominations. We make known his majesty in everything. A last implication of this is real simple. We see Paul spend all of these passages, all these verses. And I must ask, do you know this news, this good news, this gospel? Has this news gotten a hold of you? Are you more in awe of the political news, of the Facebook chatting, of the who signed what deal, who got traded to what? Are you more inclined to get worked up about the Wall Street report? Or has this news really gotten a hold of you? Imagine finally getting a letter from Paul. You're in the churches of Galatia. You're like, oh, Paul finally came. He wrote to us. I can't wait to get this letter. And you hear somebody read it, and for 15 minutes, Paul's just introducing the reality that this news is God's news. At some point, if you're hearing that, you're going to hear, wow, this news is really important. People of grace, my prayer for us as we do this letter together is that this news would be God's news to you and so important. Do you know it? Well, as we move to a time of communion, I want to introduce you to this news. We'll unpack it all throughout the series. Here it is, and let me read it in verse 3 through 5. Actually, I'll just start with verse 1, and then we'll get to verse 3. Paul, an apostle, not from men or by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. We'll get to that next week. And here's the news. Grace to you and peace from God. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for our sins to rescue us. To rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Throughout this letter, Paul explains what that means. We should never, ever, ever get over this news. In fact, my prayer for all of us is that this news would so get a hold of us that it changes our families. It changes the way you parent. It changes the way you look at your spouse. It changes the way you look at your boss and authority figures in your life. That you would, like Paul, gladly surrender to God's news for God's glory.